WPFW.
All proceeds to benefit WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
No social justice issue or movement can escape the spotlight of the Latino Media Collective. The Latino Media Collective delivers consequential coverage from the biggest countries in South America to the smallest enclaves of Central America and the Caribbean, and is available on SoundCloud, iTunes Podcast, and Google Play Music. The Latino Media Collective is recorded in WPFW Studios and airs Fridays at 1 p.m. on WPFW Washington.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no.
What'd I do?
The jury of your peers having found you guilty, 10 years.
What? Come on!
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice, that's what you find, just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. We come to you every Tuesday of the month, but for the first Tuesday of the month, we come to you live from the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl on U Street in downtown Washington, D.C. And as usual, we have an excellent show, something that everybody can jump into and feel a part of and hopefully get involved. But before we start, we always open up in what we call the grapevine. Information that you can use, the grapevine. Hey. Unhoused people have property rights too. A recent Supreme Court decision spurred a crackdown on people experiencing homelessness. Here's how some are still fighting back. In the years Faith Kern spent living unsheltered on Phoenix streets, she had all kinds of belongings taken from her during the sweeps of the public areas where she was staying. Kern said police or city workers took and often destroyed her property, her birth certificates, the Visa card she used to access her disability income, medications, and the tents where she lived. She's a plaintiff in an ongoing federal lawsuit challenging how Phoenix treats unhoused people living and sleeping on public property, alleging these seizures violate their constitutionality and violate their constitutional protected property rights. This property is what they rely on for survival, the suit read. It is all they have. Kern's litigation isn't unique in using property rights argument to seek better treatment of unhoused people by local governments. Even the Supreme Court ruled in June that cities can enforce bans on camping in public places. Courts are still being asked to evaluate how cities handle the property of unsheltered people when clearing them from where they are sleeping, resting on a bit, or even simply waiting for public transit. The Supreme Court ruling in City of Grants Pass versus Johnson overturned a lower court decision that said criminal penalties for sleeping outside when no other adequate shelter was available violated the Eighth Amendment's protection against cruel and unusual punishment. Cities that had limited enforcement of camping bans and postponed enacting new ones are now released from their previous constraints. That has prompted a nationwide wave of local camping prohibitions and aggressive clearing of encampments nationwide. How efforts to cut long prison sentences have stalled. Crime victim advocates and conservative groups are resisting moves to revisit truth in sentencing laws. Oh, I can't see it, is it? When the 2016 California law made it possible for Lance Gonzalez to shorten his prison sentence by completing more rehabilitation programs and education, he hit the ground running. Gonzalez poured hundreds of hours into self-help groups, including courses on victim impact and cognitive behavior. The radio station reported he taught classes, worked as a mentor, and earned 7 associate degrees. His efforts seemed to pay off. Under the law, the state's correction department awarded Gonzalez enough time credits to move up his first parole hearing from 2028 to 2023 by 5 years. He was granted parole on his first try, a rare feat. As Gonzalez was planning for his first hours as a free man last spring, a lawsuit pulled the rug out from under him. In May, a judge agreed with the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation, a conservative nonprofit organization, that the corrections department didn't have the authority to advance people for parole serving life sentences. The state has appealed the ruling. 5 executions have happened over a week span in the U.S. That's the most in decades. Death row inmates in 5 states have been put to death in the span of 1 week, an unusually high number of executions that defies a year-long trend of decline in both the use and support of the death penalty in the U.S. The first execution was carried out on Friday in South Carolina. 2 more death row inmates in Missouri and Texas were pronounced dead Tuesday evening following executions, and an Oklahoma inmate was executed Thursday. When Alabama used nitrogen gas later Thursday to execute a man, it marked the first time in more than 20 years since June 23 that 5 were held in 7 days, according to the nonprofit Death Penalty Information Center, which takes positions on capital punishment, but has criticized the way states carry out execution. The United States has reached 1,600 executions since the death penalty was reinstated by the Supreme Court in 1976. The FCC is capping outrageous prison phone rates, but companies are still price gouging. Although the FCC has curbed the cost of phone calls in jails and prisons, telecom companies have found new ways to raise prices for incarcerated people. In July, the Federal Communications Commission limited the rates that prison telecommunications companies can charge for phones and video call services in prisons and jails. Historically, those rates have been exorbitant. A 15-minute phone call would cost more than $12 to $15, making it incredibly difficult for incarcerated people to communicate with loved ones. The new rate caps, which goes into effect next year, ranges from 6 cents per minute to all prisons and large jails for 12 cents per minute at very small jails for audio calls. And that has been the grapevine information that you can use. We've been digging and digging, and we found these little tidbits to share with you. Now we're going to get to what we call the meat of the show. And we got three big meat eaters here. Our topic for this morning is, what is it?
Time.
My glasses need to be cleaned. Time for us to get involved. That's what the topic of the first hour of the day's show is. Time to get involved. And we got 3 gentlemen here who's been involved, have been involved, and on the front line of being involved. And a lot of you may know of them. So we'll take it down the list. Our first guest is Tyrone Parker, the former director of the Alliance of Concerned Men. And next to him is Mr. Kamal Ali, one of the owners of the historic Ben's Chili Bowl. And none other than his close friend is Mr. Kenny Barnes of Roots, reaching out to others together. Kenny Barnes, I want to say thanks to all 3 of them. But before we get into it, the 3 of these gentlemen and myself and other folks have been meeting for the past year here at the Chili Bowl in different locations, trying to see what we could do for all of us to get involved due to the crisis, the carjackings, the killings, the assaults, the overdose deaths. And we feel that some of us as wise men or elders have some insights that we can share. And we've been meeting regularly here at the Chili Bowl and all across the city to bring a coalition of nonprofit organizations together to see if we come up with a workable, meaningful plan that we can come together to address the crisis that's affecting our city. So I want to say thanks to all 3 of you gentlemen for joining us this morning. Kamal, Tyrone, and Kenny. Good morning to all 3 of you.
Good morning.
And it feels so good, man, to have three guys older than me at the table.
Kenny older than me.
Yeah, proud of it.
In spirit.
So we'll start off with Kamal Ali and explain what is the program that means time to get involved. What is it about? What's the purpose? And why did y'all get together to do this? Then you can take it, Tyrone. Start with Kenny with Kamal.
1 year ago, Roach, you were sitting here at your show. Kenny and Ty were guests or watching the show. And I was here working, of course. And we struck up a conversation about the violence in our community and how devastating it is right now for everybody, especially the young people, especially Ward 7 and 8, but all over the city, and how it's affecting everyone. And everyone's doing their bit to help. You, through your show, with the Optimistic Gentleman, Kenny, with Root, and with the Rotary Club on his Public Safety Committee, and we got Ty over here with Cruz, and unofficially with the Alliance. So everyone was doing their part, and we started talking about it. We said, "Well, how can we come together more? Everyone's doing good work." But it seems like everyone's working in silos, working independently. And where's the collective conversation that we all need to get together, as well as with city officials, as well as with nonprofits, et cetera? And so we came up with the idea for a coalition called Time for Us to Get Involved. And this coalition seeks to bring all these groups together and, as one collective, right? Whether it's government, media, religious groups, and other individuals and entities to work collectively towards reducing violence. Instead of operating in silos, we work together to ensure the safety of our youth and our families in the Washington, D.C. areas. So that's how it happened, and we've been coming together ever since. We've met, we have lots of people we also have become aware of. They've been doing a lot of work in the city for many, many years, and newer groups that have come together. So collectively, we're all trying to work on the same cause and trying to, our job is to be a collective to bring all the people together at one table.
Beautiful. Tyrone, you want to add something to that to explain to our listeners what time to get involved means and what you've been doing with it?
You know, as Kamal stated, we decided to come together to be able to unify community-based organizations that had a sincere desire to make a difference in regards to our community. We met and we began to look at different things that we could do in the community around the violence that was occurring, around going into the schools to meet the needs of our community. And from that particular coalition came Cruz, communities respecting each other's will to survive. We all are together. It's about 25 different community-based organizations in the community, almost on a daily basis at our schools, doing safe passage programs, serving food, as well as basically passing out food, because we have One Flag that's doing extraordinary work in regard to that. We have a Parent Watch that's doing a great job over youth service. We've got 100 fathers that's basically involved in Howard University and working with the kids. There's a large collaboration, Union Temple Church. This band goes on and on and on. And this is we're going into our second year of basically being at these points of God's, with no resources, no real assistance pertaining to finances, but showing up every day to show that we can make a difference as a community-based organization. And we are making a major difference in regards to the work that we're doing, because we are 25 collective community-based organizations that's functioning with their own component, but we're functioning as a whole, which is so unique in the District of Columbia.
Okay. All right, Kenny Vaughns. Kenny, you want to share?
Thank you, Roach. I'm honored to be here with you today and with Tyrone and Kamal. About a week ago today was the anniversary of my son's murder. He was murdered on September 24, 2001, right across the street from Ben's Chili Bowl. He owned a clothing store there. As I got involved and saw what was going on, I was realizing, wait a minute, all about children, families are being victimized by violence and gun violence, and that there's really no collective effort. There were people doing it. Black man Tyrone's been doing it longer than I have. And my thoughts were, back then, what we need to work as a collective. I went and studied. I went up to Boston. They have a model in Boston called the Boston model, preventing gun violence. They went 3 years without any gun violence. I went and stayed up with Jeffrey Canada. He is an entity called the Harlem Zone, and they're working with children from the time families, from the time they're born all the way through school. As a collective, we can get a lot much more accomplished. And one of the things with our city, in my opinion, we do very well with reacting to violence. Oh man, somebody got killed, it's all over the news. Well, let's do something, let's call more police. Let's get more police. Well, let me tell you something. When my son was murdered 24 years ago, guess what they were saying? Let's get more police. That's not the answer. The answer has to be a collective body working collectively together and not working in silence and looking at gun violence as a public health issue, not a legal problem.
Well, that was it. Okay. This is a topic that's close to my heart and to everybody's heart. As Tyrone mentioned, we've been meeting over a year and they had 25 to 30 nonprofit organization representatives at a meeting. And they have a business community involved, like the people from Ben's Chili Bone, Kamal and them. And we've been meeting every week for almost a year. And one thing that pops up in my mind is why all of us are getting involved in something like this. And we all got kids and grandkids, you know what I mean? And we're talking about getting involved. We should be sitting in our wheelchairs or rocking chairs, you know what I mean? Sitting on the front playing with the puppy, you know what I mean? But we out there in the street, running up and down the street, boots on the ground, calling people for meetings, trying to get resources, getting sweatshirts, et cetera, for folk. What would you have to say, Tyrone, to somebody that's listening who have the same concerns that we have about all this violence? What can we do? And the name of this is, we all time to get involved for all of us. How can somebody else get involved? And why are you involved? And I want to ask why all three of you gentlemen are involved in this. Why?
You know what, Roach? I think from the very beginning, you've made the statement, it's time for us all to get involved. And that's the whole spirit that we're carrying. It's time for us to get involved, but even more than that, to take a deeper dive into what's occurring within our community. I know on our first outing, we basically was a part of this great station, WPFW, when they announced the 8-hour Stop the Violence campaign. We as a coalition was a part of that as it took place. Then we went on the Martha's Table, and when Good Time to Get Involved had the deputy mayor, Robert White, as well as the deputy mayor of public safety, chief of police, and community persons. We then went on to do outreach over at Potomac Garden. We're at Sousa Junior High and Kimball every Monday and Friday doing safe passage, with being there with those kids to be able to help them and to speak to them and to say, that go our next president. That go, he's on the honor roll. And encouraging them, and to see these kids, Roach, and to see how they're looking, how their spirit is so uplifted when they see us there on these street corners saying and speaking to them. I mean, it's an extraordinary thing. But we are in need. We'd like to have hoodies to continue to give them, like we gave them last year. We'd like to have gloves to give them, like we gave them last year. We'd like to have hats to be able to put on their head like we did last year during the winter months. Yeah. These things and times are approaching, but that's why I'm involved. I'm retired, Roach. I left the Alliance of Concernment 2 years ago, but I'm here with Cruz and time to get involved because I cannot rest knowing that there's so much that needs to be done.
Roach. You know, you said a mouthful, and I know you retired 2 years ago, but to me, you haven't. Every day, I get a phone call from Tyrone or Kamal or Kenny or somebody. I said, I thought you retired, man. And we got to get in that car and keep on going. I said, man, I'm tired. I'm a senior citizen. You know what I mean? But it don't make no difference. If your heart is in it, he's rolled up asleep. I want to ask the same thing to Kamal Ali, the owner of Ben's Chili Bowl. Why are you involved, Kamal? You got a big business, a successful business running, and you involved every week. You haven't missed a meeting. Why are you into this?
You know, Roach, everybody around this table has been personally affected, number one, by violence in this city. And, you know, some people have lost their sons. Some people have lost their daughters. Some people have lost their grandsons. I've lost four people here related to Ben's Chili Bowl. Workers here, young workers, young men who lives taken for no good reason. And so we've all been personally affected. I had a cousin shot up on First and Kennedy Street in the head and killed years ago. So this is a problem that's existed in Washington for a long time. We've always cared about our community. We've always been involved. But we're using this opportunity because, you know, this thing goes in ebbs and flows sometimes. And it spiked last year with a whole lot of violence, a whole lot of murders, gun violence, and carjackings. And now got everybody's attention. It's always had our attention, right? But now it's got everybody's attention for because it's so high, because people are moving out of the city, because businesses are closing down. You know, it's just got it reached an extreme point once again. It's happened, of course, over the years for different reasons, but we're using this opportunity to make sure that everybody gets involved. Because, you know, for the first time, you know, we care, it's our community, it's our people, it's our kids, right? And every time a new young kid gets killed, it's like rubbing salt in our wound, okay? But now everybody cares because they're losing money out of their pocket, right? Because their neighborhoods aren't safe, because the violence has spread into their neighborhoods instead of just Ward 7 and 8. And so for a rare time, we got everybody's attention, and we need to use that to say, hey, guys. But I want to say this, that this is not just a gun problem, right? We need wraparound services. This is a life problem.
Yes.
This is a lifestyle problem. Yes. People have, families have issues. Kids have issues that go from, whether we're talking about food in the refrigerator, we're talking about jobs and job training, we're talking about education, we're talking about substance abuse, we're talking about mental health, we're talking about fentanyl, we're talking about a myriad of things are new to our city. And our kids are coming up, you know, in a very different environment even than any of us came up in, right? You had COVID affecting these kids. You have marijuana legalized on the streets everywhere, including a lot of synthetic marijuana and stuff that's hurting their heads. We got, you know, just a whole, it's just the internet alone, people being on the internet, which is a huge issue with this violence, how this is now changing, how they're using the internet, you know, it happens much quicker now. But we need not just us, not just the older guys caring and working on it. We need the help of all demographics. We need the help of all age groups. And especially we need to involve the young people. They're the ones who's happening to. Yeah. We have to listen to them. We have to involve them. And all along the way. So we're like the grandfathers, but we're bringing along sons and grandsons and everybody else in this community to make a difference.
All right, Kenneth Barnes, I know why you're doing this. You lost your son. And not only that, you lost your sight. Here's a blind man who lost his son and he lost his sight. And he came all the way down to Ben's Chili Bowl to be on the program morning.
Always.
And that tells a lot about this guy's always commitment. Every time you call, he's jumping out of, and he can't even see, and he's trying to walk down the street. I got to slow him up and keep him. So watch out, Ken, the bus is coming. Say, don't care about the bus. Let's get going. He is ready to get involved. And when you see this kind of energy and support come from somebody. So, Kenny, yes. I know why you're getting involved, but you want to share what Tyrone and Kamal just said about why other members from the community should step up to the plate and do something. Because if you can step up to what you've lost, man, I'll take my hat off to you, brother.
Thank you, Roach. You know, one of the worst pains a human being can experience, an adult human being, is the loss of a child. I mean, if you can take and multiply your worst hurt by about 20,000 times, you might begin to understand. And the only way you truly understand is if you've experienced it.
Recording in progress.
You have to also deal with the family. is in a toxic family, what's creating this violent child. And so therefore, we as a community and as a city start needing to look at prevention. And the reason why we don't want to look at prevention, because it takes time to prove that it works. We're looking for an instant fix, and stopping and reducing violence and gun violence is not an instant fix. It takes time. And so we need to look at it and address it from that point of view as well.
We're going to open up the phones in a little while. This is a free-for-all conversation. Come on, if you want to jump in, Ty, come on.
What? And I think as Kenny makes mention, as well as Kamal, in regards to the death of family members, when I lost my son Rodney, Fat Rapping Rodney, that helped to launch the Alliance of Concerned Men. And we decided to go to the streets to make a major difference. But as we went to the streets, we saw what the needs were. And the needs were primarily our kids wanted to have individuals that they can trust, individuals that they could talk with, individuals that would walk them through the many challenges that they were confronted with. It was then, what was occurring then is still occurring there. Our community is waiting for Black men and women, to stand up and come and say, I'm here, I'll be here with you, and I'll walk you through your many challenges. This has proven to be successful in the past, Roach. When we got people like Joe Patterson that's involved in the work that we're doing, Brenda Jones that's involved in the work we're doing, the Elders Council that basically is composed of 15 to 25 different elders around the city that have been very successful in regards to the work and with, that they have been doing. We're coming back as an army, as a commitment to our community as a whole. But we need the support. We got to have it to be able to retain it. This is our first year, our second year, that we have basically volunteered, did everything for nothing.
Nothing, that's right.
We have turned water into wine. Great. We have parted the Red Sea. We have done the work that God had chose for us to do. Now we are in need of your assistance. Help us to be able to continue this great work.
You know, great, Kamal.
Well, I was just say that, you know, as we've been on this journey, we've also found other groups that are also working hard at this.
There you go.
Right? I had a brother named Darrell Muhammad from Safety Measures Matter and Crisis Management Unit. He and I have gone around and spoken to Anacostia School, to Dunbar High School, to Ballou. He's out there every night in those streets, really, really interacting and working with the kids who carrying the guns and trying to make a difference in the community. We got the Transformers with Andy Shalal and Dr. Laverne Adams over there in Southeast working on their pieces. And the other day I was at a program across the street, the Public Welfare Foundation and the Greater Washington Community Foundation have gotten together, and they have funded a fellow to really come up with a single plan, which is part of our agenda as well. We need one singular plan to stop violence in Washington, D.C. Not the attorney general has a plan, and the mayor has a plan, and the council has a plan, and everybody else has a plan. We need one unified plan. That coordinated effort is what it's all about. And that's why we've come together to not only help to bring about that coordinated plan, but to bring about the necessary communication, the resource guide, right? The directory, all of this together under one plan, under one voice, the lobbying effort for the city. We need to all work together. And that's our big piece.
You know, one of the things is I've been asking folks, who do we have on Capitol Hill? What support do we have? And there's a few folk who's going through the same situation in their cities. This is a problem that's affecting the entire country. All cities is going through the same kind of things. And the mayor gave $400 million or $500 million to one of the big business developers in Washington, Mr. Leonis. Then it just had the thing of the guy tried to assassinate ex-former President Trump. And in 1 week, they passed a bill to improve the resources and services for the Secret Service to increase the protection for the president. If they realize in 1 week after he got an attempted assassination, they passed a law. Here we get people dying and killing every day. And we got to, again, call guys like us together to see what we could do. And we need to go ahead. You want to say something?
Well, yeah, I just want to say that you're exactly right. And we've looked at some of these models around the country. And we have Roger Marmet and Marcus Ellis from Peace for DC doing great work. And they've gone around the country and talked to people. So we have Chicago, you have Oakland, you have Philadelphia, you have other cities that are experiencing tremendous violence. And we need to get some of the best practices, right? But they've utilized, we went to something at Howard University and we talked to people there, and they from Chicago, and they said that, for instance, they've utilized the it's the public support, it's the private support, as well as the foundation support. We need all three. And I believe it was Belinda Gates out of Chicago who donated $30 million a year for 10 years. Okay. Now, of course, she's a billionaire. Well, we got billionaires right here in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And we need them to step up. This has to come from the top down. This funding has got to come from the top down, from the private sector. We got federal city council with Anthony Williams representing these businesses, right? We got the private sector. We have the Public Welfare Foundation and Community Foundation, and we have the philanthropic community that are sticking, they're putting up their things. And now we have us, the community. We're the grassroots. We represent the grassroots, the boots on the ground that my brother here, Tyrone, is always talking about. We have to be in those streets. We have to be talking to those kids, intervening. And let me say this, the violence interrupters play such an important role. And, you know, there's been some smoke lately because of, you know, Councilmember Trayon White and an incident, you know, where perhaps they had something, you know, go wrong with a program, some controversy. But that, you know, one bad habit don't spoil the whole bunch.
That's right.
Violent interrupter program, we have 150 to 200 violent interrupters in this city who are doing tremendous work, who need to be, you know, who have a job and need to be compensated to do the work they do. They're putting their lives in jeopardy every day. And Peace for DC has training for these and the Alliance, we have training for these people. So this is a very important work, and we can't let the police union or anybody say, no, that work's not important.
Let me build back with Kamal is saying.
Let me take a break. Yeah, this is WPFW 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. PFW is heard around the world, and we'll be opening up the phone shortly. And I can bet a fat man to a donut that the first caller will be my buddy from Germany, Rick. He grew up in Berry Farm. He living in Germany, and every week I know you on the phone waiting, Rick. We'll get to you shortly. So this is WPFW. Stay tuned, and we get right back to our show. Go ahead, Ty.
You know, beyond a question of a doubt, if Rick was here in the district, he'd be right here sitting with us, making the difference. But as Kamal makes mention of, those particular folks that's out there doing the work now, Cure the Street, the accredited messages, the ones off, these brothers and sisters are doing fantastic work.
With no money.
With they're being compensated,
they've been able to
bring the numbers down as a collective effort. And this is why we're coming together, because we know the impact of a collective community. We've seen these numbers fall before. When the District of Columbia is considered to be the murder capital of USA, 484 homicides a year, and we were able to bring it down to 88 in the year 2012 as a collective effort. This is what victory looks like, and we will be able to make it. But at this point in time, we got to have a collective effort. We got to have the support. We got to have individuals that's willing to volunteer their time. If you don't have no resources, contact one of us. Say, I want to do something, because it's time for me to get involved.
The phone number to call is 202-588-0893. Call in with a question or comment for our guest, 202-588-0893. Go ahead, Kenny Barnes. You got it.
Yes. Another thing that we have been able to do, I'm a member of the Rotary Club of Washington, D.C. Now, if anybody knows anything about the Rotary Club, Kamal makes a joke about a blind man being in the Ku Klux Klan.
go ahead.
But if anybody knows anything about the Rotary Club, a few years back, it was basically an all-white club. I've gotten the Rotary Club so involved in our community.
Yes.
That not only do I have a peace committee that I share with the Washington, D.C. Rotary Club, which is probably the biggest and best Rotary Club, because congressmen and senators and everybody come through there and speak. I'm also the chair for the entire district, about 83 Rotary Clubs. And they've allowed us now to come in the community. But what we've been able to do is we've been able, with us here collectively, there's no community or group in the city that we can't reach out. We can reach out and we can talk with everybody, from the Rotary Club to the Nation of Islam and everybody in between. And that's what we're trying to do. If we don't understand that, and let me say this, when you bring up the District of Columbia, and this is me again talking, I'm not saying this from anybody else, from my experience, I've had members of the city council since they had one about a month ago come in, and I asked him point blank, council member, is there such a thing as a comprehensive approach to reducing violence in D.C.? No. I've asked the council chair when he spoke at the Rotary Club, is there any such thing? No. Now, you can't even get district government agencies. I mean, let's tell the truth about it. They will not work together. Cannot work together in peace and harmony. Try to see if you can get them to do it. All right? And this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to make not only our community, but we want to see the district government and all the agencies within the district government working collectively together to address this issue. And as a matter of fact, we want to help the district government. We're not trying to fight them. We want to help them. We're not trying to fight the police. We want to make sure that police treat our citizens equally and fairly. But we don't want to make sure anybody says we don't need police. Well, I don't know what you're talking about, because we do. Because they do a lot of good things, some bad. So this is what we have to do. And we have to begin with the family unit. We have to begin, pardon me, at the root of the problem. What is creating such violent children? Children are so violent that we've never seen in the history of our country. We have to get to the root of the problem, and that begins at home.
Okay. You know,
I want to say one thing, Roach.
Okay.
I want to add one thing to that, is what Kenny talked about, getting these agencies to work together. It's not just getting them to work together, which is hard enough, but to cross over administration lines, right? This can't be something that happens under one mayor or under one council chair. This has to be something that is a long-term plan that crosses over administrations. That's to be written into the code of our city, permanently funded things. This is not a problem that's going to go away. It may ebb and flow. It don't go away. Yeah. So we need to cross over those administration lines and write into the code of our city, as well as another even bigger challenge that we have to deal with is crossing over county lines and city lines, because it's not just a Washington, D.C. problem. Prince George's County and D.C. are so interconnected that kids are crossing over from one to the other and committing these crimes. There has to be some interjurisdictional conversation.
You know, we got the lines. We'll take our first caller. Phones are jumping off the hook. We'll take the first caller. Question or comment, please.
Good morning, fellas. This is Rick calling from Germany.
I know you was calling in from Germany, boy. Everybody, we.
Come on. I just want to say to the panel that it is good to, when brothers dwell in unity, that's a proverb from the Bible. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. And I want to ask if there's any government money that has come your way since you've sat down and began to unite on this issue.
Say that again. Give me the last part. Say that again.
Is there any government money that has come your way since you've sat down and decided to unite on this issue?
He asked the question, has any government money come our way since we united to bring this, make this happen?
Not one dime.
No,
Rick.
No.
We have not received any money pertaining to that. What we have done, Rick, is taken our own resources, our own money, our own time, and our own commitment to meet the many needs of our community as a whole. We are in need of support, Rick. And at the same time that I say that, I say one of the awesome, I'm going to jump for 1 second. Our sole purpose from the Alliance and Cruz's perspective is to reduce the presence and the dependency of the police. We want to be able to monitor our communities, be able to do public safety in our communities, and therefore reduce the prison population. If these individuals have like-minded people that are there to be able to monitor and reduce the dependency and the presence of the police and make sure that Miss Jones is able to walk down the street in her own house, come out of her own door, and don't have to be concerned about other things. This is our concern.
The question was, are we getting any resources? You want to comment on that?
Yeah, I do. Not $1 from them. Not only that, me talking again. We have a city that if you try to get a meeting with a city official, at times, speaking for me again, And you're sitting here with four experts. If anybody in this city can be considered experts on dealing with homicide and violence and reducing homicide and violence, it's us people sitting up here. But yet, you're going to hire.
Somebody in there, the deputy mayor, so he was teaching, because they got the medical content. We need to have expertise, not only in 15 years, but we need to have expertise advising this administration and this administration coming in and meeting with us, us four right here. You need to set up a meeting, mayor, city council, you need to come in and you need to bring us in and talk to us. The one other thing I want to mention is, we are having an event that we are having one October 9th that I gotta bring up, Roach. It's an event that we're having. When I say we, I mean Don Marcy and Bob. Well, we have our people meeting with the Attorney General, Brian Swan, and the head large city council member, Robert White. We also have two expert people to talk and present forward before us. We have Dr. William Lawson, who is an expert in psychiatry and mental health issues. We have Dr. Edwin Chapman, who's an expertise in substance abuse issues and homelessness. And so we're going to be talking at this event about solutions. And let me ask you one more thing. We got solutions. We have solutions. If people listen to us,
come on, Kim.
We have solutions. But if you don't listen to us, and you won't be
there, you go.
And you won't
there
talk
you go. Right, that's right.
Why do you think the weaker thing that you're concerned about solutions? And you thought just band-aid things. And that famous three words, four words, we need more police. Mm-hmm. That's what he saw.
No,
can't do that.
And to that point, you know, exactly right. Like I said, a comprehensive individual. We have to service the individuals. And so we were at that conference at Howard University, and they talked about on a national basis, and they talked about what does it take to rehabilitate a person, right? Let's say you got a 17-year-old carrying a gun, tearing up the neighborhood. You got a 22-year-old been in and out of jail, whatever it is. What does it take? And they came up with a rough figure of, let's say it took $150,000 to rehabilitate that individual. And it would take an 18-month period with people touching that individual 10 times a day at first. And whether it goes, all those things we talked about, whether it's mental health, whether it's substance abuse, whether it's, you know, going into the family and making sure they have food and a home and proper housing, all these issues are pertinent. They said that's $150,000, you know, per individual of 18 months. But they said, what is the cost doing? What's the cost of the detriment that he's currently causing? They say it's three or four times that amount.
Yes.
So it's a bargain. We have to do it. It's not a choice. We have to spend the money. Now, if you take that $150,000 times one and multiply times the number of individuals that need the help, we're talking about a hundreds of millions of dollars of problem.
Yes.
We're not talking about no little small problem.
Yeah.
We talk about a hundreds of millions of dollars problem.
The problem didn't happen overnight.
So we have to understand it. We have to embrace it as a community. We have to take it, like I say, from the private sector, they have to get it and fund it. From the public sector, they have to get it and fund it. From the foundation sector, they have to get it and fund it. And as individuals, we all have to get it and do our
That's
part.
Right.
Whether it's mentor one
That's
child,
right.
whether it's give one person a job,
That's right.
whether
That's
it's
right.
give somebody on the street some That's attention right. and a hug and $10 for a meal.
That's right.
We're all human beings. We care about each other, and we have to pass that level.
You know, this is like the hurricane that just hit down in Georgia and in Tennessee and North Carolina. Everybody's helping out. You might not have spoke to your neighbor in 5 or 10 years, and they got all kinds of beef. But because of this devastation and crisis, everybody's coming together. And they forget whether you're Republican, Democrat, whether you're redneck or military, whatever it is. It don't make no difference. Everybody needs some help. And this is the same concept we're using. Last year, we bought the sweatshirts for the guy, $600. And it didn't make no difference.
Need to be identifiable, but we got
medical help. And we got people who can solve the problem, who can contribute to it. We got men and women that did 30, 40, 50 years in prison who've been mentored to some of these same kids that's doing this crucial stuff. These guys didn't remember their fathers, their uncles, and their brothers. So we got connections that other people don't have, that we can use these connections to bring this crime rate down and make things safe for everybody. This is our city. It don't mean whether you're Republican or Democrat. It's our city. We're all human beings. And we all want to live in a safe environment. So we got another caller on. We'll take this next caller. Question or comment, please.
Please.
Yeah, good morning. I'm here.
Well, come on, speak up, please. Speak
up. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes. Hello, come on.
So good morning. This is Denise Rollart Barnes over at The Informer. And good morning, everybody. I am, my heart is so filled. Huh?
Good morning, Denise.
Good morning. I just want to say my heart is filled with all of, it's taken me back because I know how long you all have been out here. You know, we've been trying to keep the positive news coming out about what, you know, the work that you all have been doing. And it's unfortunate that you're not sitting on those front porches, you know, petting the puppy, as you said, Roach, because the work continues. And, you know, as a publisher of The Informer and one who's been trying to cover these stories over the years in the most constructive, positive way as possible, I just want you all to know that we're still a partner in this fight. That, you know, I do see victory, but it does take intergenerational participation. It takes history. It takes money, you know, and as you remember, Tyrone, you know, a lot of times it was the money that was the divisive things between the organizations. But I'm glad that you all are working collaboratively because that's the only way this is going to work, and bringing in young folks. So, you know, just remember that you got a partner. And while I may not be present at those meetings, Sam Collins, who writes for us, you know, has been trying to focus on the things that we think the public needs to know. And so we want to be like Roach, you know, be an amplifier of the work that you all are doing and use us. You know, we're here. Use us. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Denise.
Always there.
Always.
Hey, Denise, I'm not sure if you remember, but when you did the Reporters Roundtable about 15 years ago, and this program is still in existence today, where you had myself and the chief of police there, Chief Ramsey. And we gave Chief Ramsey kind of what we felt. Out of that came the Homicide Prevention Task Force for the city of Washington, D.C. And it's still in existence today, Denise.
You know, and add to that, Denise, we know so well your commitment and your determination to the community on the whole. And I recall so clearly when we had reached the point of when the district was considered murder capital of USA and we'd all that come together, and you made a profound statement and you said, well, Tyrone, we may not all be on the same page, but we all have the same goal. And that's the common denominator there. And our goal is collectively to end the violence in our community. And that brother Josh and all the other work that you've done over the years, we totally appreciate you.
You know, I want to add something too. Denise comes from a family of activists. Her father, Dr. Calvin Rollock, was the founder of the United Black Fund. And her mother was on the city council. I'm telling you, these folks, you got a long history of this. I just want to throw this in. And we say resources. We need help, people. We need money to get these guys and women in the streets to work. We got folks who are risking their lives right now, every day, just trying to make this city safe. And we ride, walk down the street, and you see $49 million is given to the for migrant relocation, $400 million to the people downtown. They just cut $30 million out of the budget to Mayor Bowser. I'm not knocking nobody. I don't care what you do. Do what you got to do. If you can help us save some lives, that's all we're asking. We ain't to put nobody on the spot. I don't care what you did or didn't do. That ain't our business. What can you do now to help us to make our city safe? Well, this is our home, people. And if you don't fight and stand up for your home, when the hell are you going to stand up? And we got a ways to reach. You got, as Denise said, you got four people there. They got over 300-400 years of experience in this city on all aspects of it. And we know what can be done. And we know how to do it. And we know we can reach the people. But every time we turn around, we got to go through some jiggy boogie Some more jiggy boogie from the folks in the government. You got to go this way. You got to sign this. You got. I understand policy and resource, but people, folks are dying. They are dying, and we can save some lives. And we're asking you to help us help ourselves to save some lives. We'll take the next caller. You're on the air, please. Question or comment? Hello. Are you there?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. Well, blessings to you all. This is Nana Malaya, one of the warriors and dancers and advocates and educators in our world community. How is everyone?
Good, good.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, like Denise, you know, I'm not only a supporter and an advocate, but unfortunately, I had one of my kids, and that's kind of how Tyrone and I got pulled together initially. He was killed up in the Benning Heights area, what they used to call Simple City. And I've been an advocate even before then. A couple of things, and one is thank you all for all the work that you all were doing. That's number one. And number two, thanks for working as a collective. You talked about how you all were meeting, and are you open to other people coming to that meeting? And when is that meeting that you all come together?
We got a couple of minutes. Thank you for calling in, Mama. I appreciate you. We got a couple of minutes to go before we close the show. There's a meeting this Wednesday, October the 9th, from 3 to 6 at Bus Boys and Poets on 2021 14th Street. It's a crucial meeting focused on addressing the pressing issues of violence, substance abuse, and what we're talking about. The public is invited. The community is invited. That's this Wednesday, October the 9th, from 3 to 6 at Bus Boys and Poets. Come on by, and you can join the group that we're with now to make this thing get on the fast track and make it rolling. So this Wednesday, October the 9th, from 3 to 6, Bus Boys and Poets at 14th and V. Come on over. And the dress code is business casual. We are hosting a crucial meeting focused on addressing the pressing issues that are affecting our community. We need
I'm gonna pass the word on that. And I just wanted to say, I know you all were talking about other issues. They need to stop the guns before they come into the city. We have to work on the parenting issues. I was just at Deanwood Library. They close at 6 o'clock, and the rec center closes early. Those kind of issues we got to deal with. But the other thing is we have to get to our communities with funds and realize we're the only ones that are going to stop this. Nobody else is going to stop this but us. And like the other brother said, it's an ongoing issue.
Yeah, thank you. Go ahead, Nakichi. We got a minute.
Roaches and Nakichi, let me chime in real quick before you close out this segment, because I heard my strong, powerful sisters from Denise Roloff Barnes, Nana Malaya. I know you mentioned Joe Patterson earlier. The sisters, we are with you brothers. You brothers.
Come on, man.
Okay, Tyrone Parker, Kenny Barnes. Yeah, I know Lamont Carey's coming on. Kamal Ali. Y'all represent royalty in the city. I just want to make sure that you know that your sisters are standing right there by you.
Thank you, Nakisha. We love you.
We know you've been with us, Nakisha. You with something else. I mean, you be leading the pack. We're talking all the men over there. I look at Nakisha in front of the pack. I understand you. We need you, and she's been all doing the same thing. We're out of time. We got another hour to go. I want to say thanks to my guest, Tyrone Parker, former president of the Alliance of Concerned Men, Kamal Ali, my hot dog buddy here from Ben's Chili Bowl. And Kenny Barnes, a man, the guy, I take my hat off. I respect the hell out of you, Kenny. And what you lost and going through, and you're still fighting to make things better for other folks. I don't know what else you can say to say. That says a lot about your character, man, and what you're about. So this is Roach Brown coming to
you. Thank you, Roach Brown.
Famous Ben's Chili
Bowl. Thank you, Roach
Brown. And we got another hour, so stay tuned for the second hour with Lamont Kerr. We'll be talking about Marker, the mayor's office of returning citizens. But please make that meeting Wednesday, October the 9th at Bus Boys in Portsmouth, 3 to 6. If you want to participate and join what we're talking about, we need help. And help means money, 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 money. So until next time, this is Roach. This is Crossroads. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be.
Bethesda Theater presents Spyro Gyro, celebrating their 50th anniversary on Sunday, October 13th, and Norman Brown on Sunday, October 20th. More information at BethesdaTheater.com.
Bruce Hornsby and the Noisemakers bring their Spirit Trail 25th anniversary tour to the Warner Theater this Saturday, September 28th. Details at WarnerTheaterDC.com.
Hey, Chris Garlock here.
And I'm Elise Bryant.
Tune in Thursdays at 1 p.m.
for the Labor Heritage Hour Hour.
Every week, we explore labor arts and culture.
As anarchist Emma Goldman said so famously, if I can't dance, I don't want to be part of your revolution.
And that's how we feel about labor music, films,
theater, poetry,
labor history, labor art,
spoken word. Basically, anything that brings labor and the arts together.
So, join us for the Labor Heritage Power Hour
here on WPFW 89.3 FM.
Your station for jazz and justice.
That's the Labor Heritage Power Hour.
Thursdays from 1 to 2 p.m.
The heart and soul
of the American labor movement.
The international unites the whole.
On Sunday, October 6th, 9 a.m. until midnight, WPFW presents De Colores, celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month. Our beloved Sunday programmers will explore the rich musical palette of Latinx artists, from the strings of Villa Lobos to Salsera Graciela, to the Cuban jazz and electronic sounds of Omar Sosa. That De Colores, celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month on WPFW. Building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
This is attorney Nikichi Taifa, and I am thrilled to host a talk show entitled Human Rights and Justice. Join me every Wednesday, 5 to 6 p.m., starting September, as I feature insightful commentary and stimulating guests discussing domestic and global themes encompassing political, economic, and social rights. Get up and stand up with me, Nikichi Taifa, Wednesdays, 5 p.m., for Human Rights and Justice.
Hi, this is Miyuki Williams.
And I'm Robin Holden. This is Reggae Music and the Reggae Experience present a the Reggae Experience present a WPFW fundraising concert featuring Image Band, Curlew Reggae All.